Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I'm here. It's Tuesday. Yeah, we're an hour early, which I do like. I like the early stuff. Me too. I'm here with the man, the winning man. He cannot lose. Wayne Breezy, how are you, my friend?
I am great. I am fresh off of zero sleep. I didn't know how to sleep because it was just so exciting. Congratulations to the Boston Celtics.
I slept. I had nightmares. So thank you.
And I apologize, you know, in advance. But no, I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to be here. It's good to talk 49er football with you, bro, always.
Dude, I love it. And, man, we just got to say, like, okay, Michigan. Championship.
Yeah.
UConn. Championship.
Back to
Celtics. Championship.
The 49ers
who did get the championship, but they made it to the Super Bowl. Pretty impressive, but it's
they
what
messed
it
up. Yeah. You know, people were texting me. It was like, yo, how is that all your teams won? Except for the 49ers.
You're a Breezy. I've been saying it for 6 months.
You know what I gave him two words. Can you guess those two words?
No, I don't even want to. Even if I knew him, I wouldn't.
Okay, so I won't say it then.
No, say it. Say it. You got to say it. You got to say
Kyle Shanahan. That's the difference. I'm telling you, that's the difference. It's nothing. Man. Listen, you know I love Kyle. But at the end of the day, it comes down to control. And sometimes you just got to let the players play.
I like it. And speaking of players playing, look at my man Vince. He's winning too. He says he just got married Sunday in Cancun. The missus knows John and Wayne are my two favorite podcasters. Thanks for all you do, gents.
Congratulations,
Mr. and Miss Mansueto. I am pretty sure I said that incorrectly. I apologize. But
that's
congrats,
dope,
my
though.
Friend.
Congrats.
So today's going to be a fun show. I'm excited about today. We got a couple things. One, training camp dates are announced. They just came out, so we know how long we have to relax and whenever things are going to get crazy. On top of that, the whole premise of today's first half of the show is how are the 49ers better or worse compared to last season, 2023 49ers versus the 2024 49ers. Then we're going to wrap up, as we do during the offseason, breaking down NFC West rankings. We've got linebackers. Ooh. We've got special teams. We got to fit special teams in there. So that's what we're going to end the show with. But, Wayne, talk to us about these training camps. We got the rookie report date, and we got the vet report date. What do you think? How we feel about this?
I'm feeling good, man, because it's time to get these guys back. They have a bitter taste in their mouth, bittersweet, whatever you want to call it. You ever had some chocolate, and, you know, you thought it was the chocolate that you like because you didn't read the package? No. You never had the
semi-sweet? Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
yeah.
about.
And you put that chocolate in your mouth, and you was like, nah, this ain't it. It's not milk chocolate. That's what they feel like. I think they got the wrong chocolate from losing that Super Bowl. So they're going to come out on fire. You got a lot of young players. You got a lot of rookies that are looking to make their name right here in camp. July 16th is going to be a great date. That's when those rookies report. Can't wait to see what Malik Mustafa does, as well as Isaac Garin on the offensive side. We got the two wide receivers. Oh, man, the offensive linemen. Like, I feel like Dominic Pooney is already being scratched in as a starter. I'm loving what I'm hearing. No slight to anybody already on the roster, but the rookies get to set it off. And that's what's really important. And they're going to get that jump start on the installs and things like that when they kick off, what is it, phase four? And so I'm excited, bro. And then you got the veterans coming in, the good old savvy vets, you know, Brandon Ayuk and them coming in there.
One of the things I thought was crazy. We've got some fun chat comments already coming in. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for participating. The rookies report the second earliest out of all the teams. And the vets report the second latest.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it's going to be rookie, get your crap together and get on board.
You got a whole week, bro. You got 7 whole days.
I like that. To
figure stuff out. But see, the only thing about, okay, so like, we've been to training camp, but I've never been to the rookie version.
I usually don't open that up to the public. Sometimes okay. They'll let the beat writers come in for one of them usually. You know, and we don't have the dates yet as far as when they're practicing, which ones are open, which ones aren't, all that fun
correct
stuff. They will be open to season ticket holders. They go to them first. And again, if you're a season ticket holder and you don't want your training camp tickets, please reach out to me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will happily pay for those tickets if you don't want them and make it financially rewarding to you, because, you know, I want to bring as many people as I can, people that enjoy that stuff. If it's not your thing, that's cool.
I want to get in on that, man. Let's send people to training camp. I won't be able to attend this year, so let's send some people out there so they can enjoy and get the experience of the loudspeakers and the hot ass sun. It's hot.
I think that I remember you came out the hottest week, bro.
I didn't know. Nobody gave me the info on how California works with the sun. I came up there half baked.
That's what's up, man. That is awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited about training camp. I really, really am. And so we're sitting here looking. I mean, it's the 18th now. We got 1 month. That's it. It's going to go quick. And then it's, you know, it's back to the grind, which we're excited about. That's what we want. That's what we do. So let's talk. Let's back up. Let's talk 2023 49ers versus 2024 49ers. Coaching, depth, starters, whatever it is that you think makes them better and worse, we're going to kind of volley back and forth, good and bad. We're going to start with you. What is a way that the 49ers will start positive, are better in 2024 than they were last year?
I mean, I think you got to start with it's going to always be the coaching for me, like every year, right? Because we're going to lose coaches every single season. And the question is, how are we going to replenish them? Not necessarily replace, replace the coach, but replenish the people that we need to get what we need to get, right? How do we keep that up? I felt like the Niners defense, although it didn't take a dip in production, right? It was a little bit worse than what it was the prior year with D'Amico Ryans here and a year under Steve Wilks. So Nick Sorensen, guy that's been in the building, it automatically seems like a plus to me. And John, I don't think anybody watches pressers more than you. And so during his latest presser, they asked him a specific question, and the only thing I got of it was that the coaches were having fun. And when he said that the coaches were having fun, I was like, oh shoot, it's about to be a wrap. Because I wonder if the coaches weren't like what was it like being in that building? So if the coaches are having fun, you know, the players are going to have fun. And if you're having fun, if you show up to work and it's fun, it's so much a much better experience. So I say it starts with the coaching. Defensive coordinator, don't know if it's going to be an upgrade, don't know if it's going to be a downgrade. All I know is it's going to be a grade. It seems like the players already know him, and that's cool, right? It's not a huge transition, not a big change. It's a guy that they're familiar with, a guy that they're ready to run through a wall with, and I really like the Nick Sorensen addition with an upgrade to the 49ers defense, and I think that's where it starts. You know what I'm saying? For me, I think that's where it starts.
You know, Sorensen's interesting because he's been there. And so he knows what's going on, and he knows the players. So here's one of the clips I like. This is Talano Hufanga whenever he was asked about Nick Sorensen and how he feels about him being promoted to DC.
Oh, definitely. It's honestly, you know, coming in, you know, he's been already in the meetings. So it's not like he's just a fresh face, new face. It's he knows what the system was. He's been in it with D'Amico as well. So he really understands what we're trying to accomplish. Yes, he makes tweaks here and there and knows what we can do. But I think the good thing is his energy, too. Like it's very D'Amico style. I'm not saying they're two different coaches, you know, but at the end of the day, it's same system, philosophy, and the way they teach is a very competitive, energetic way. And that's something I appreciate about him for sure.
And if there's anything about Wilkes, and you are right, they finished as the number three defense, scoring defense last year. They were the best fourth quarter defense in the NFL last year. A lot of positives as far as stats go last year. But, man, one of my favorite clips was, I think it was a pick six play, and they panned to the booth, and everybody's going buck wild in there. And Steve Wilkes, just like a Greek statue, like
no emotion.
No emotion. Just who he is, whether right. That's positive or negative. For Hufanga and a lot of the players, the energy returning is a big deal. And so the coaching, yeah, you lost one of the Kubiaks. Yeah, you lost, you know, a handful of other guys, Adam Peters, all that stuff. But you kept Shanahan. Offense, not too concerned. I thought Greasy staying was by far one of the most positive things as well. Just continuity, all that kind of stuff. Now, we got a super chat here from Corey. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you, bud.
What's up, Corey?
He says, respectfully, I disagree. I believe this is the year this roster regresses. It's continued, been on an incline since Shanahan showed up. Corey goes on to say, I think it will be much more disappointing than a Super Bowl loss. What do you say? The roster regressing, is that going to happen this year? Is that something that you see, Wayne?
It's almost hard for me to see this, and I respect this take, you know what I mean? But it's hard for me to see it. When it's continued to ascend every single year. I think, you know, when you think back when the Niners first started with the Kyle Shanahan regime back in 2017, you know, they were really trying to build. And I really think they got the drafting right. They got the specific players that they want in here to be the pillars. And then they keep trying to find ways to replenish that particular player, you know, in the draft. Like, okay, if this guy's going to move on, we're not going to pay this guy. We need to find another guy that can do similar, some of the same things that this particular guy does, because this is how we run our offense. And so I think they got that part. So it's hard for me to say that the roster regresses. The only way I see the roster taking some type of regression is if there's a big injury, like in 2020. I mean, you lost a bunch of players that year due to injury, right? And so, like, yeah, we didn't look good coming off of that Super Bowl loss. I think this year is a little bit different. I mean, the health staff is better. The training staff is better. Like, everything just seems better. And the players, to me, though they've gotten a little bit older, they're probably a little bit more wiser when it comes to taking care of their bodies. And so it's young, but it's experience. And I think the experience is why you won't see the regression, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I like that. Let's pause on the 2023 verse 24, but I guess this kind of works. Nick says, question for Breezy and John and everyone in here. Did everyone have the same hate for Debo as they do BA? I think there was more hate for Debo. Personally, people were pissed at Debo back in the day. But I'll say this, and this is my only, I'm not a speculation on social media and all that stuff, but I'll tell you this. BA and Debo have been talking extensively about how to handle this situation. Brandon Ayuk is following the D-book playbook on how to handle this contract negotiation step by step by step. You remember the video that went out, whatever, his mom was on the phone? Or like, that's where we are in this process. And so I just let it play out. And if you want to speculate over all this stuff and hate players and social media and all that stuff, that's cool. That you do you. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying I'm not doing that. I just let it play out. Let it play out. And just wait. Just wait. Breezy?
I can't help it. I like to talk about it. I'm in the entertainment. You know what I mean?
Nothing
like,
wrong with that.
It's entertaining to me, and I like to break it down. I like to find the cap inside of everything that they post, and it's fun, right? And
that was the most staged video I've ever seen in my life.
That was more staged than the Debo Mama's video, like in the phone call. Like, it was more staged. But at the end of the day, you know, the players are having fun. And I think that's what's most important. Now, to some fans, it's distasteful, but try not to take it that serious, because it's not your contract. Like, it's their livelihood, it's their contract, it's what they're trying to do to be noticed. Right now, the team isn't budging, the team probably ain't even thinking about what they're trying to, you know, negotiating. And the team does what the team does every single year. We talk about contract negotiations. This stuff will probably heat up that rookie mini camp week, right? That's when it'll probably start kicking some tread on the tire. Until then, it's going to be 30 days of this, which I'm for it, man. Give me that. I'm just with it.
I'm just going to defer to Wayne on all these things. So what, I'll say this. The longer this takes, and if he does miss time in training camp, that's good for the rookie wide receivers. And I'll say this. He's completely controlled under contract for this year already, under contract. He doesn't have to sign anything. He's under contract.
14
and then two, million. Next year, same thing with T. Higgins. Look where T. Higgins is now. That's exactly where Ayuk would be next year if they wanted to do that. Could be a cap and trade. Ayuk's got no leverage. That's why you have to go to social media. That's why they do what they do. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing until we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The new CBA changed everything. Rookie first round picks are controlled for 6 years, no matter what. It's just the way it goes. Oh, look at this. We got the Godfather, Nicholas Barra. I'll let you take this one, Wayne.
He says, my brothers, I took a later lunch just to catch this show live. Look forward to the season and hanging out soon. In the meantime, continue to crush it. Love and miss the entire crew and community. We love you too, bro. It's hot in Jersey, ain't it, man? This guy, because it's hot in Connecticut. I was outside filming my IG live video, and I'm like, what is this wet under my shirt? Like I just started sweating for no reason. Like, that's how hot it is. It's humid. No,
it's
more
warm
outside.
Out here, too. I mean, I'm in the East Bay, and, you know, I think it's like 70 degrees. It's pretty warm out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's rough out there. I want to say thank you to 49ers Throwback. He says, smash that
Soldier.
Button. He is... I assume it's a he. I don't even know if it's a he. And I apologize about that. But, like, such a positive human that is constantly just putting so much positivity out there throughout social media, just
they
supporting so many
like
great
you.
Channels.
I can tell you that right now. Not another one. You one of one,
he
Fernando.
Is.
One of one.
Oh, it's Fernando. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was Fernando.
No, one of one.
There we go. Appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Right here, Daniel says, can't wait to be a part of the Niners road trip in Minneapolis. Flying from New Zealand.
Wow.
Way better be there. I'll be
Ooh,
pissed.
That's a tough one.
Minneapolis is rough. He was there last year.
I didn't go last year.
Oh,
I've
you
never
weren't
been.
At that one.
No, I can't. I couldn't get out to Minneapolis. Wasn't it that Monday,
rough,
Sunday
man.
Night football? Monday night was one of those nights.
I'll say one of my top three stadiums. Maybe number two. I
is
think
it a dome?
Two. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, so they play. Okay, so that's dope.
It is awesome. Probably my second favorite. Raiders, number one.
Raiders, stadium. Allegiant Stadium is the best stadium in the NFL.
Yeah, and then I'd go Vikings, too, for me.
Wow. We got to do a show with the best stadium from the trips. Like, we got to do something like that.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. What's up? You got Rusty in the house. What's up, Rusty? Dude, I love it, man. Absolutely awesome. So, all right, let's go to a negative, Wayne. Something that you have that the 49ers are maybe not as good off yet, it could change, as they were last year.
I don't know. Last year they were pretty darn good. Even the bad was good. It's hard for me to find a negative. But I'll give you my negative. And I know no one's going to, and you'll probably agree with it, but you're going to be like, it's corny. I think it's time management. I think when it comes to the negativity for what we can be better at, I think the head coach has to be better at controlling the clock. And, you know, sometimes it's not just about like going out there and like keeping things at pace. I mean, if you could keep your foot on the gas for as long as you can until you know it's about to be over, I would think that would be the area of improvement. I would like to see our head coach, you know, get calling the proper timeouts, knowing when to challenge, things like that. I mean, it's good to be a genius, but that's part of geniusy, right? You got to know, that's my own word, you got to know when to call those things and to do those things properly and, you know, to waste timeouts because the, I was about to say shot clock, because the play clock is on its way down. Like, that stuff has to stop. I think it's time to, you know, I would like to see better, you know, clock management from starting at our head coach, coming down to, you know, Brock, obviously, out there. And we do that, man. It's them little things. It's the little things that they could get better in. You better clock management, you probably win that Super Bowl.
My question is, okay, so clock management's been an issue going for it on fourth and just always taking the layup. You know, shit, that's who Shanahan is. Zero fourth down touchdowns in all of 2023.
I didn't.
But having said that, so was Kansas City. So was Kansas City. So,
yeah, like, but we don't care about Kansas City. We want to be, you know what I mean? Like, you're right. So is Kansas
City. Now, okay, so here's my question. You bring in Brandon Staley, who's the most aggressive fourth down coach and the most aggressive time coach in the wrong direction, but they're polar opposites. Do you think Shanahan's going to listen to Staley at all whenever it comes to fourth down and time management?
I think this is where checks and balances come in. There's no way he brings in Brandon Staley if he's not going to be a voice and an ear. So Staley's job is to be a voice and an ear, right? So knowing when to listen and knowing when to speak up and suggest certain things, and having another set of eyes too. I think that helps Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, Kyle's all about trusting, and you'll get your opportunity. And Staley just can't mess up. If Staley takes advantages of his opportunities, the trust is going to continue to grow. You saw Kyle Shanahan trust Steve Wilkes last year as the defensive coordinator until that Minnesota. Vikings. That's why I ain't going to no damn Minnesota. Not me. No, I'm just playing. But that's what it was. Like, it was that game. That's when it started. And then that is when all stuff kind of like, it was probably weird to go to work after that.
Yeah. Now let's stick with some of the Brandon Staley, who was responsible, one of the guys for bringing in Leonard Floyd. I think one of the areas that I'm concerned about that the 2024 49ers are worse than the 2023 49ers is defensive end. Our starters are better. And so I'm taking Bowman. I'm taking Nick Bosa, and I'm taking Leonard Floyd. That's a better starting group.
Yeah.
I'm so concerned about the depth. And Thomas says, you know, hopefully Floyd doesn't run out of gas. That's my concern. So, Wayne, how do you feel about this defensive end group outside of our starters, Drake Jackson, Robert Beal, Yetur Gross-Matos, compared to what we had last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, even last year, they weren't great. And so you brought in a younger guy and you took Gross-Matos. You got Drake Jackson that's going to be coming off of an injury. You're hoping he develops into that player that you drafted in the second round. And then you got Robert Beal Jr., who you got in the fifth round last year. And you know he can be a speed guy off the edge. You could see some specific packages where he's out there, you know, finding ways to get pressure. I understand why you would be worried there, and it's fear, right? Because these guys that I just mentioned, For one, you're bringing in another new guy. That's Gross Matos. And then you got these other two young guys that just haven't played enough football yet to have proven anything. But then when you go back to last year, I mean, we didn't really know what we were getting from Cleveland Farrell. You didn't know what you were getting from these other guys that we had out there. We thought Drake Jackson was going to be the man, and then he got injured. And so at least you're getting him back, hopefully coming off of his injury. And then there was some upside with Robert Beale Jr. So, look, I understand why that could be an area of concern. I get we don't need Leonard Floyd running out of gas. But I think the 49ers got better at depth overall because there's different elements, right? Now, who's going to be the guy out there setting the edge? We're going to have to find out. We just haven't seen him play. I'm all for saying that it starts with the defensive coordinator, right? And what he's allowing his guys to do. The reason why those guys were probably hindered even last year was just for the simple fact that they just weren't allowed to attack and play the way they play. I think it's going to be a little bit different this year. And so hopefully it's better than what it was last year.
I love it. Man, the chat is gold. What's up? We got Mo's.
What up, Mo's?
We got man Luke Luda in the house. Appreciate you. And I like this. He says, you know, play the healthy players you have. You know, using guys like Mitchell and Kyle Juszczyk more. So, you know, is Bosa going to be out there 95% of plays like he was down the stretch? Is Christian McCaffrey playing 100% of downs all the time? Is there going to be more of a rotation? Because now I'll go back to one of the positives that I have. One of the things that the 2024 49ers are better at than they were last year, depth. They have established depth almost everywhere. I think there's two key positions, perhaps, where you could say not so much, but wide receiver, corner, interior offensive line, safety, quarterback, running back. The depth has been established. Will the rotation, Wayne, actually be a rotation? Or do you just stay with your studs 100% and Christian McCaffrey's playing every damn snap?
Yeah, man, that's where it gets tough, right? Because, like, you don't – it's not about – does everybody know why Christian McCaffrey is out there on the football field all the time? It's not just because of him being overutilized. It's because of the way that the defenses are going to have to find a way to counter what he's able to do out there on the football field. If Elijah Mitchell
just being out there changes everything.
Thank you. If Elijah Mitchell is fully healthy, he gives that same type of element. It's different. They game plan for him differently. But I think Kyle Shanahan knows I can use Elijah Mitchell almost identical to the way that I can use Christian McCaffrey. And you can get back to that outside zone running because that's what Elijah Mitchell is faster in, right? He's a 4-3 guy. He gets to the outside. You use Christian McCaffrey. So, yeah, I think you see that. I know a lot of people want to see Jordan Mason and whatever like that. I think it comes down to what Kyle Shanahan is trying to make the defenses have to try to figure out what we're doing. Because if you just say we like that we put out two running backs, right, and it's Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, kind of the defense knows what's about to happen, right? Let's say you put out Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey with Deebo out there. Let's say you rotate Deebo to the backfield. You run one of the running backs out, split out. I think the defenses would go berserk. They really won't know what to do. Who is Brock getting the ball to? They can run it out of the backfield. They can throw it. They can do a quick screen. They can do a flat pass. There's so many different options. That's Kyle Shanahan. Will McCaffrey be overutilized? Probably not, but you want him on the football field. If he's healthy, you want him out there. Like, you need him out there because of what he poses the defenses to do. So will we see more reps from some of the other running backs? Only if I think they're healthy. Because wasn't it funny, John, how no matter how bad Elijah Mitchell looked, he was the only running back Kyle Shanahan trusts.
100%. I mean, it was just whatever he did, that was all that mattered. And so he was always wherever CMC was, that's where he trusted. And so it was, and whenever he went in the game, he changed his entire play call and everything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Let's go to Kyle. I just loaded the clip. Kyle was asked, is Christian McCaffrey going to have fewer rushes this year?
I mean, I don't think it always needs to be that case with all the runs. Like, we got guys that can run the ball and stuff. We got to protect Christian from himself. He doesn't like to ever come out no matter what the situation is, and I do think that's something we could protect him with more. When you are such a threat in the pass game, it's a little bit different, you know, and that's when you get touches from a running back. a lot of times you're the last choice. Just everyone's deep and you throw it to a check down. So like halfbacks can get six targets in a game without one play called for them, just because they're on check downs a lot. And so how do we feel about those touches? Man, I'm glad he was out there for that check down. That means no one's around and he's getting up the field and he's as good of a threat on a check down as there can be. But if he's just taking the wear and tear with 20 carries and stuff every game, and he's definitely good enough to do that, and he's proved he can stay healthy, but you'd like to take some of that off of him and give it to other guys also.
Yeah, I want way more receptions than I do carries. And
absolutely.
Look at this, Vader Niner. If Schrader is as advertised, Mason will probably get traded. I just finished a draft of free agent Cody Schrader breakdown on Patreon at the49ersrush.com. Go sign up over there. Free week if you want to check it out. Schrader's awesome, man. He's a damn good player. And he fits what we do, third most zone run attempts in college football. And we all fall in love with the undrafted free agent running back every year. We have to. That running back room is stacked, though, Wayne.
Super stacked. This is Jordan Mason's
third year?
Is this it for him, though? This is like
I think he's got one more.
So when you're undrafted and you sign a contract, it's still a four-year deal?
Yeah, yes. Still a four-year deal.
Okay, so he has one more then. Okay. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting, you know. I mean, the guy that you would want to trade would be Elijah Mitchell, because you'll probably be able to get more in return. Possibly, but he's been dealing with injuries, so teams might not want him. But if Elijah Mitchell goes to a different team, I bet you two things. One, he'll be healthy, and two, he'll be a dangerous motherfucking running back. I can tell you that right now. So the question is, what will you be willing to give up? And then that way, because you got Isaac Garrido, I feel like he's going to make this roster and be something different as a running back. He doesn't have a lot of tread on his tires. That's a plus. And so he just got to come in and learn the offense, like really just learn the offense. That's what that rookie's first week of training camp is going to be all about. But I do like Cody Schrader, big back, nice kid. And I think he runs very well. I think he hits the hole, gets outside, doesn't have that speed, but he's kind of like Jordan Mason, if you think about it. But he's not as dangerous of a runner as Jordan Mason.
No, and I just looked it up. He's a restricted free agent after this year because he got cut, then brought back.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Okay.
Very similar to Juwan Jennings, Daniel Brunskill, Emmanuel Mosley, all those guys. So he cannot sign with another team. The 49ers would have to tender him, bring him back, all that kind of stuff. And I like what Luke says. I feel like he's echoing. What's up, Luke? Missed you, bro. He says, sometimes you have to put out fresh legs and just let them win. And so...
I agree with that, right? But again, it comes down to that's only if you're choosing to run the ball. If you put in a different running back, it changes up. If you put in Jordan Mason, they're most likely not going to pass to Jordan Mason, right? So like you have to make sure you have if you're taking Christian McCaffrey out and you're putting Elijah Mitchell, then you still need to post the threat of the pass. If you put in Jordan Mason, and I'm not saying Jordan Mason can't catch, but that's not what he's utilized for. And I think his pass protection is a little suspect still, too. So I agree with the takes. Got to give these guys fresh legs. My thing is just don't run them. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I like it. Rusty says, who take Mason and work him? You need an injury, something. Tennessee just makes the most sense to me. Like, if he goes to Tennessee and you put him in that Derrick Henry role, I know their offense has changed and all that stuff, but the way their line is built, that's just like a perfect pairing in my...
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That would be a perfect compliment too to Tajay Spears. And I don't know who they got Pollard.
Yeah, Tony Pollard.
So like, perfect compliment to that too, right? Like, you know, because those are different types of running backs.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Right here, Vader. Everybody knows it's a run if Mason's in, and they still can't stop him. Still can't stop him.
They can't.
He's a beast. Alberto, what's up? Good morning, fam. Appreciate you guys. But I do agree Mitchell is gone this season.
This is his last year, too.
Or he walks. Yeah, like, that's all there is to it. And I'm sure he wants a chance to play somewhere. And look at this. Shout out to all the people giving out the Celtics love. I'm going to let you read this one because I can't. I don't want to cry.
Well, at least he said sorry. Wait, Breezy, congratulations on the Celtics championship again. Sorry, John. Mavs didn't have it. Hopefully the That's Niners right. win it. So we're all happy. Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there. All right. Let's talk about this. Can we talk about we already did the wide receiver room rankings for the NFC West, but is there a better wide receiver group in the NFL than the 49ers? Like, is there anybody? Hey, there's some great rooms out there. There's some great rooms out there.
I'm not going to front. I kind of like that Chicago Bears room.
It's incredible.
And what the addition of Roman Dunze will be able to do to take the top off the defense for them. Then they could use DJ Moore underneath, and they can have Keenan Allen just working the slot. Like, that's crazy to me.
They got Dante Pettis on their roster still, too.
And he's the one that sneaky catches touchdown passes, only against the 49ers, though.
Yeah. Dude, they still got Simba. You remember Simba Webster?
I do remember Simba. Remember,
they got
Simba
over there.
That should have been our special teams guy.
I wish.
And for some reason, we just didn't do it. Like, you know.
So their top three, the Bears, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roba Dunze, whatever order, that's incredible. And I would take that three maybe over our three. But the problem with the 49ers, and I think this is the best problem, and I think one of the best things about the 2024 49ers, you kept all of your big three.
All of them.
So far, right now, they're all under contract. We'll see. Things could change. I don't think that they will. But then you add a first-round wide receiver in Ricky Pearsall. Then you add a fourth-rounder in Jacob Cowing. That's the thing. Would you rather have Dante Pettis or Ricky Pearsall? That's the difference between the Bears and the 49ers. The depth there.
I know we would say we'd rather have Ricky Pearsall. But if you ask the regular person, like
Dante Pettis ain't it, bro.
I agree. They might say,
he has
hey,
zero
man,
guaranteed money. He's on a vet minimum deal.
He's a vet. Like, that's what people might say. He's a veteran in the NFL. Whereas Pearsall's a rookie, they don't really know what he's going to be. But I know we know what Pearsall's going to be in this offense.
Yeah, there's some good teams out there. Like, you look at Miami, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Odell Beckham Jr. They got River still.
I forgot they added
He's still
OBJ.
Working over there. Braxton Berrios, like, they've got some studs, but I don't think Odell's Odell anymore.
No, so, but there's a possibility he has some type of resurrected life.
I mean, he was benched last year in Baltimore. Like, he wasn't even in four wide receiver sets.
Yeah. We'll see
down
what
the
happens.
Stretch.
It's Miami. Things change with, when you're having fun with, Mike McDaniels.
Yeah, there we go. Philly, they got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Paris Campbell. That's about where they're at. The depth just isn't there. And so trying to find these teams with a lot of depth is an issue.
And that's where the Niners win, like you said. Like, when you look at what they added to their depth, even though they're young pieces, they're prominent. Like, I feel like they're prominent. And even if you took a guy like Ronnie Bell and you threw him into your depth as your sixth wide receiver or the Danny Gray or whatever, we know about these guys, but like, you can arguably say that they're still deep compared to these other teams.
Yeah. Now, and I want to put this out there, not to be negative. Okay. Not to be negative. All the hype right now is on Ricky Pearsall, who lit up training camp, who lit up mini camp, all OTAs, whatever else. And rightfully so. The one thing I will say is, try your hard, like, enjoy that. That's awesome. But he was wearing a blue non-contact jersey the entire time. They didn't want him going through contact or whatever else. That was his biggest issue or his biggest flaw on college tape, running routes through physical contact. So I'm just saying, I hope that could continue. And I think through a year, they'll develop that. I'm just saying, everybody, wait until we get to training camp.
Wait till we put the pads on. That's the
and
key.
He's got to play against physical corners, which the Niners have in spades. And if that can continue, then sky's the limit. Right now, I'm just saying, yeah, with the blue non-contact jersey out there, he's going to excel. That's what his bread and butter is. The biggest flaw in Ricky Pearsall tape is playing through physical corners. That's where he struggled. That's why he was a slot corner for Florida. We'll see if he could do that. And so if Ayuk doesn't show up to the start of training camp, and if Pearsall can play that outside X wide receiver and play through the contact, then it's like, all right, once you get that established, and if you wanted to trade Ayuk, which you shouldn't, but if you wanted to, I would be, you know, I don't want to trade him at all.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't want to trade Ayuk, period.
No.
You know what you got with him? He's what a development from a player. Like, you know, you saw a kid get thrown into the fire, get thrown into the doghouse, come out of the doghouse as one of the top dogs in the NFL. There's no way you move on from that. Like, I understand it's money, it's contracts, it's terms, it's agreements, all that stuff has to come into play. And I know the Niners don't necessarily, I take that back. People feel like the Niners shouldn't pay two receivers top money. I keep telling people that Deebo Samuel is not a top receiver. He's a top weapon in the NFL. Try to look at Deebo like that, and then they'll be paying one receiver money. How about that?
And it's not, he's not even getting paid top 10 anymore.
Not anymore. Like, with 11 or 12 now, right?
That's where he should be. And like, it's not even like, it's almost to the point where it's a value.
And the Niners, so at the time, it was top five, top three, top whatever at that time. But now look where once it all settles down, look where it is now. So people, we need to relax, pump the brakes, let these guys go out there, get their bread, and it'll all even itself out in due time. We need to win some championships. That's what we need to do. Some championships.
I like that. Thomas says, you know, was he wearing the blue contact jersey because he was hurt or whatever? And Nigel, yeah, he was wearing it because he was sore.
That's what they said.
And so they just wanted him to get the reps with Ayuk out, with all those guys out. So they did basically whatever you got to do. You got to get them out there and get reps. And so they did that. And that's a huge positive. And Vader, you know, John brings up the only question I have on Pearsall. Can he take NFL hits? I'm not worried about him taking hits after the catch. He's tough as hell. He's brave. He's courageous, fearless, whatever you want to. Like, I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about before the catch, running through contact. That is what I have not seen very much of on tape. If I could see that, check that off. I'm so in love with this pick, and I want to fall in love with Ricky Pearsall. I want to fall in love with every Niner. Like, I love it. And speaking of, let's go to the next part of our segment. Here we go, Wade. I asked this question on Twitter, and it was fun just listening to all the answers. It started off as, I'm going to ask you this. Who are your favorite four, the Mount Rushmore 49ers that you watched? Not the best 49ers. Not the best 49ers all time. Your favorite 49ers that you remember cheering for, right? So this kind of is going to date everybody. I can't say Joe Montana. I can't. I never, you know, I came along pretty dang late, and I saw a couple games with him, but I was like 8 years old. So he didn't make my list. For me, my top four that I remember rooting for, Jerry Rice, that was number one. Navarro Bowman, number two. I freaking love Bowman. We've talked about this so many times. B.Y., Bryant Young, and Frank Gore. Those are my four. Who are your four that were your favorite 49ers to root for? And they could be on the current team. And everybody else in the chat, throw your four in the chat.
Yeah, for me, you know, it was Jerry Rice, T.O. So, like, those are my top two dudes, right, that I loved watching. You know, having them, seeing them on the football field at the same time for a short period of time was freaking dynamic. So if you got a chance to watch that, woo! You know, you picked Frank Gore, and I love that pick. I got to go with Ricky Waters, man. I know he wasn't here that long, but I just loved
Ricky
him.
Running Waters.
I just, like, he was, like, man, he made me wear the bandana. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he, like, you know, I just loved Ricky Waters, man. I thought he was a top dude. And, you know, I'm leaving out some fun people, but these are some fun players that I like. And I know Deebo Samuel not going to get the credit that he deserves, but I love Deebo Samuel, yo. Like, I just love everything about him, the physicality that he brings to football, how hard he plays. This will probably be the best year of his life that it looks like he's coming into camp. But just watch him on the football field. You give him the ball, and he's just looking to make a play. And that's what I love about Deebo. Like, you know, he's looking to make a play every single time. He's looking to take the ball to the house or make people miss or do something electric. So I feel like a lot of players that I talked about were kind of like electrifying, right? Like, so those
we
are my
had a
four,
lot.
Man.
We've spoiled.
I didn't put Steve Young on there, and I feel bad. Because I went with all the specialty players, but Steve, if it could be five, like, I definitely want Steve Young on my Rushmore.
Yeah, Steve Young. The hardest ones I had leaving off. Justin Smith,
I left
so
off Patrick Willis too. Oh my gosh, this is
Patrick
not easy.
Willis. Shout out to Juan Solis, who is, you know, the heart and soul of the 49ers rush. We've got the same four, except I've got Bowman over Willis, but there ain't nothing wrong with that. Willis over Bowman ain't wrong. And somebody asked me, like, why do you like Bowman more than Willis? And I think Willis was the best whenever he came in. It was expected. No, that was awesome. Like, Bowman had to, like, fight into that. And I love to see the
ascending part of it. It was almost like Bowman was today's Greenlaw. Like, yeah. You know. And
I got it tight.
You got to type, yeah. I'm sorry, man. Four. That's the Mount Rushmore. I need a fifth. I need a fifth. I need to put Steve Young up on there. If you could pick a fifth, who would be your fifth?
Joe Staley. I love Joe Staley, man.
Solid.
He's never going to make the Hall of Fame. They're never going to retire his number. Solid. I mean, like, but you're talking about a 49er start to finish. Culture setter, amazing person, the most consistent. I freaking love that dude, man. He still is awesome. And one of my biggest goals this year is to get Joe Staley to a Rush road trip party. Like, that's up there. That's my number one. I haven't got to hang out with Joe yet, so I'm a little jealous of the UK faithful.
Well,
group.
didn't we meet Joe? Didn't I meet Joe?
You
get
may
on
have.
The elevator. Remember?
You he was shotgunning beers.
Yeah,
I probably
he was shotgunning
the
joints. Oh, what a hey man! Listen, remember I couldn't shotgun. I had this big, whatever I was. I couldn't shotgun. They wouldn't let me on the elevator, so I had to wait.
I had my starter jacket on, and I had like three cold boys in that bad boy. And so
John is the
like,
man at the stadium. I'll tell you that right now. You got
to
follow
on
John.
A budget. Yeah, but yeah. We're waiting in line to go up the elevator at Levi's. To get to the seats, really, we had good seats that day. And Joe Staley, they made Joe Staley shotgun his beers before they let him on the elevator.
He could not get on that elevator. Shout out to the crew at Levi.
We probably shouldn't tell that story. Hopefully that's not causing any issues.
Hey, man, he'll probably come up here and be like, yo, I'll shotgun it again if I have to get up on that elevator. He wasn't walking up them steps.
No, I love it. Bose, my man. He says, Rice, primetime.
Solid,
T.O. Willis.
Oh. Prime time. Dang.
Mark. Here we go. Montana Clark. Roger Craig and Rice. Golly.
Excellent.
That's the cool thing is like if you were a member of some team, you all have the same answers. Keena Turner. Wow. What's up, McNice? Tom Rathman. Phil, my man. I'm curious, Phil, if you're still in here.
Who's your favorite 49er fullback?
William Floyd.
Yep. That was just me. Number 40.
Kyle Juszczyk's better though.
I didn't care who was better. I said, who was your favorite? Like that.
I
like
40. I wore 40.
I wore 40. That's why I wore 40 in high school. Yeah. Because of Floyd. They used to call me 40.
Polo, man.
Oh, staples.
Fred's going to be on my list eventually.
Oh, my God. How did I leave Fred off? That was an impossible list.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So it's hard, man. It's hard stuff.
I know I'm going to get shits for taking Debo, but there's something about, first of all, we share the same birthday. Second of all, something about this kid that, I don't know, that just screams me inside of him when he's out there. Like, I just love that about him, you know. Dude. No shade to anybody that I didn't pick, because, you know, I love all these players, but something about Debo.
Shout out to my man, Phil. Rice, Lott
Willis
Montana.
Montana.
Oh, that is...
That's
heat.
The mecca of 49er football right there.
He
got two guys that will knock you out.
Yeah, there we go. I freaking love it, man. That's the thing. There's just so many. There's so many people that we could talk about. Freaking love this, man. It's just fun looking back. That's all I got to say.
The style
all right.
Works.
Let's do this. Here we go. Let's get to our rankings. Let's jump. Let's pivot now. We're doing our NFC West kind of series where we go through and we rank these positions. Today we got linebackers, and we've got special teams going, just kickers and punters. It's pretty hard to evaluate all those other things. So we'll go alphabetically the same way that we have, where we'll go through all four divisional NFC West teams, the linebacker groups, who their starters are, kind of what they do, all that kind of stuff. So let's look at just the starters, okay? Let's start with Arizona. Kaiser White and Mac Wilson Sr. They have not awful. Their backups, Chris Barnes, Owen Popoa. You remember him out of Auburn last year.
I
we
do.
Both liked him pre-draft. He hasn't really taken that step yet. And Marcus Bailey is kind of their young developmental linebacker. But this is something new for Jonathan Gannon. Whenever he was with the Eagles, didn't really put a lot in linebacker. Still there, not putting a lot of resources in linebacker. What do you think of Arizona's linebacking core?
Nah. It's tough talking linebackers unless you have like a super stud that stands out. They don't have any super studs. They might have a decent linebacking core, but it's hard, especially when you're comparing them to me, the standard. You know.
Yeah, this is probably the biggest gap between number one and any other group.
You ain't never lied, bro. Like it's going to be tough.
And that's one of the things, because we could sit here and say, spoiler alert, it's the 49ers. But whenever you go through these rooms and you listen and list, it becomes apparent. And it just shows you, all right, this is kind of where we're at. Okay, so let's go to the next team. Let's go to the Rams. And I'm just going to be honest here. I'm just going to give the names. Their starters are Ernest Jones and Christian Roseboom. Those are the starters.
I like Ernest Jones, though.
Troy Reader, Jake Humel, and then they got two undrafted free agents, Eli Neal and Omar Spites.
Spates. S-P-E-I-G-H-T-S.
Tell me what you think about the Rams linebacker group.
I think they're better than Arizona's linebacking crew.
Okay.
This sucks for Arizona, yo. You mentioned Arizona, and then the next thing, you talk about the Rams, and then Arizona's at the bottom, like for every position. It's just crazy.
It is. And, you know, I constantly go back to this. Okay, why does Shanahan have the upper hand over the Rams? This right here. The 49ers invest so much in the linebacker position, and the Rams do not. What does Kyle Shanahan take advantage of? And the offensive scheming more than any other position.
Bro. The middle of the field.
Jake Humel was starting last year against the 49ers, and Shanahan put that dude in a blender.
Yeah, that's what you do. It's hard, right? Because Shanahan realizes, oh, snap, I have the best linebackers in the NFL. And no one's even a second close. Now, there are some great linebackers in the NFL, but we're talking about the NFC West. And right. So... you know, Seattle might be second. They might be.
The one team that was close to the 49ers in the linebacker room was Baltimore.
But they lost Queen, so he's gone.
They lost Queen. They lost their
He's a Steeler now.
Yeah, so there you go. Now let's go to the 49ers for stick in alphabetical order. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw. Now, I understand Dre Greenlaw is not going to be back until later in the year. They go sign Devondre Campbell. They've got DFF. They've got D. Winters, who was a draft pick. Jalen Graham. They seventh-round pick Tatum Bethune. Curtis Robinson, Ezekiel Turner.
The depth is there for sure. But just starting at Greenlaw and Fred Warner, I mean, it's kind of hard. You said that Baltimore was the closest number one and two with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. Like, yeah, it was them. It was neck and neck pretty much last season. And even the Niners found a way to stand up finish out on top at the linebacking core. So they lost one. If you want to say that Greenlaw's was kind of lost, I think people are sleeping on the Devondre Campbell signing. You know, this guy was an all-pro linebacker. And due to whatever the situation was in Green Bay, it ended up the way it did. Now I think now that he's here and he's going to be with under Johnny Holland and the crew, like I think you're going to get all pro play from a guy that has all pro in him. Once you're all pro, you're always an all pro. The question is, how do you keep maintain it? We'll see what happens, man. It's gonna be dope. And then Greenlaw's gonna come back. Like, I want my spot back. So the competition's gonna be crazy, bro. This could be signing Devondre Campbell can be one of the greatest gifts in the world. Just gotta let it play out.
Yeah, I'm curious, man. Once Greenlaw gets back, that's
gotta let it play out, because now your depth got better, right? And so you can ease Greenlaw back in. You don't gotta rush him back in, right? And so, like, the key is to have Greenlaw for the playoffs,
right?
Greenlaw is like the Porzingis of the 49ers. I'll leave
why you gotta
there.
Why you gotta? We've been cordial this whole time.
What I say?
You're cordial. Why you bringing that dude is worse than Jerick McKinnon to me. Don't Wayne.
I don't think you understood the correlation of what I was talking about.
I'm cool. Seeing red right now.
Say less. My bad.
Nothing but love. Ah, man. How early is too early to open a beer? I'm just saying.
All I meant was that he's the unicorn of the Niners, right? Ooh,
got me hot. Right, put my fan on over here.
I got mine going, dog.
Oh, we're going to have to go to a commercial break right here. Good Lord. All right.
Join the 49ers Rush, man. Sign up for all these dates.
All right, last group, Seattle Seahawks. They go get Jerome Baker, probably one of my favorite unheralded linebackers. Terrell Dotson, their backups, fourth-round pick Tyrese Knight. They got John Rottingham, two undrafted free agents, Easton Gibbs, Devin Richardson. Depth is a major issue here for Seattle. Major issue.
Again, like, it's tough. It's maybe the Rams are better than Seattle, but I like the Jerome Baker addition. Like, that to me stands out. Now, if they can maintain health and longevity, they're number two to me.
Okay. So let's do this. Before we rank 1 through 4, who are your top three players, regardless of team, 1, 2, 3? Who is the best linebacker, second best linebacker, third best linebacker in this division?
My third is tough. I'm sorry. Third is tough. But it's Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, and I'm toggling between Baker and Ernest Brown. Those are the two guys that I'm toggling with. I'm going to go with Ernest Brown.
See, there were three guys I was fighting between. Yeah, obviously, number one, Warner. That's clear and obvious. Number two, Greenlaw, clear and obvious. Huge gap. The three I was fighting for was Jerome Baker, Ernest Brown, and Devondre Campbell.
Yeah, I knew. Right.
I think Campbell could be the third best linebacker in this entire division.
So going back to what I originally said about the Niners, don't sleep on the addition of Devondre Campbell. I feel like it's an unslept on, like, signing. Watch.
Yeah, so I would say Jerome Baker was my three, but almost it was Jerome Baker, Devondre Campbell, Ernest Jones. Those were my Jones. So, okay, who's the worst? Let's start. Well, we know 49ers are first, so we'll do that, right?
Like, I think Arizona's the worst.
You think Arizona's the worst? I have Arizona 3.
You got the Rams the worst?
I have the Rams the worst, just because there's no depth. I don't think Corey Reader's, like, all right, but I don't think Jake Hummel is an NFL player. I don't think the two undrafted free agents, maybe somebody can pop there, but, like, no depth. Like, I don't know.
I can dig it. You know what? And I understand it. All right. I can agree with you on that. I could go with
you stick to
I still got Arizona the worst. I got the Rams the third worst.
And Seattle
second. Even though they have lacking in depth too, but it's a little bit better.
But they got a fourth round pick sitting there.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Yeah, right.
Like, that's the depth is always such a big deal to me. And, you know, everybody always talks about your top 10 players, your top 5 wide receivers, top whatever. Depth matters in the NFL.
100%. And that's the thing that I think the Niners are figuring out, right? It's not just about having depth. It's about having the right depth. And when they asked about the roster kind of, like, regressing, like, yeah, you're missing a key piece to the defense. Like, Dre Greenlaw being out is huge. But they filled it in, I think, with the right depth. Like, they didn't just go out and get any linebacker. They went and got a former all-pro linebacker that is can do some of the things that Greenlaw, while you see the development of the rookies that they drafted a year ago, and Dee Winters, right, who I think will be the weak side linebacker, and Devondre Campbell would be the strong side linebacker. And I think when we come in with the nickel position, I think you move Campbell to the weak side, and then you bring in your nickel back. So, like, the Niners' depth is ridiculous, and it's good, right? It's good. It's been good consistently in the NFL, and I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, and man, if you get one of those young pups,
just Jaylen one,
Graham, Dee Winters,
just
Tatum
a Bennett, bite, like, right, just one of them, it's a win.
I don't want DFF out there. I know he will be out there early. It's
you think
gonna
so?
Happen. His contract's 100% guaranteed.
So that means he's going to play.
He's on their special teams wise, but they've always gone to DFF. Like, he's, I don't know. I want somebody to, I like DFF as a special teamer, and I like him as
he's
a backup
great
linebacker. I just would rather Dee Winters, rather anybody.
They just fit the position, too, because when you look at DFF, he was a former safety, and then he came up to play linebacker. You know what I'm saying? So you look at that, you know, not everybody can make that transition. You know, they tried that with Marcel Harris, didn't work. They tried that with Eric Reed, didn't work. DFF is still struggling with that, too, when he has to start.
Exactly. Colin, my man.
Colin.
Appreciate you, buddy. He says, you guys still working hard during the slow season. Have a drink on me. Appreciate your generosity, my friend. You are the freaking man. You are the man. All right, let's go. Let's go with punters and kickers. Okay, now I'll list the teams. And again, here's how there's different ways to rank this. I wanted to put numbers to it. Field goal percentage, accuracy percentage.
Okay.
And just PFF numbers for the punters, how I did it. So we'll start with Arizona. Their kicker is 19th, and their punter was 18th last year. Mm-hmm. And I'll just list all the teams, and you go through and rank them. Okay. Then we have the Rams. Their kicker was 6th last year. Their kicker was a 6th-round pick this year. Sorry, my notes are wrong. So they got a rookie kicker. They spent the 6th-round. Their punter was 11th, Ethan Evans. The 49ers, Jake Moody was 20th on kicking accuracy last year on field goals. Mitch Wisnowski was 12th PFF. And then you've got Seattle, their kicker Jason Myers 22nd. Michael Dixon, their punter, was 4th. Talk me through
that's
these.
Crazy, right? You would think that Myers would have had a higher, would have finished higher because of being a veteran. And you know, a lot of kickers in the NFL kicked almost 80%. I mean, I think that's why the lower ranking tiers for the kickers, you know, you had to be like dang near 100% to get in the top 10 of the kickers, in my opinion. I'm not looking at the data, but it's just what I'm thinking.
Right.
Because who was the best kicker last year? It had to be the kid from Dallas, right? And so then,
I think,
like,
he was number one.
Right. But it's crazy because Justin Tucker probably was what, top 10?
Let's see here. If we're just looking at, let's stick with what I'm pulling
percentage,
it up
right?
All field goals, kicker percentage. You got to get rid of all the minimums.
Got you.
I hate that. Here we go. Nick Folk, Tennessee, 96%. Harrison Butker, 95%. See? Brandon Aubrey, your Dallas kicker, 94.
He was 4th?
And then, Cameron Dicker, 4. Jake Elliott, 4. Boswell, 6.
I need to
Justin Tucker was 14th.
See what 87%. I'm saying? And he's the best kicker in the NFL.
By
so
far.
Like, it's
he
so
went
weird
down, and he went. He only made 250-yard field goals this year. Like, he had a, he didn't have the year he's used to having. He was still great.
But my point is just his nostalgia makes him still the best guy. Like, until he's not kicking, he's like
Brandon
the top kicker.
Aubrey for Dallas went 10-for-10 on 50-yard field goals.
Damn,
that's insane.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm drafting in fantasy football. All right, so check this out.
Jake Moody went 5-for-6 on 50 yarders. That's amazing.
He struggled on the 40 short yard ones. Yep. Now, listen, I don't want 49ers attempting many field goals, but if I had to rank these guys going based off of, like, let's say I didn't know these rankings. Like, let's say I didn't know. I put the Rams last as far as kicking, right? They got a rookie kicker in there. Don't know what he's going to be able to do. Don't know. So they would be 4th, you know, as far as kicking. I think you kind of got to – I feel like Jake Moody, is kind of, I want to put him two, but do I put him ahead of
I put him two.
I put Seattle three.
I think Mitch was way better than – I thought Mitch was a top five punter last year.
Yeah, but how did he get him 12? And it had to be because of the return – like the returns? I don't know. But I think the Niners are two. I think the Rams will be fourth, even though they had a good punter. I think the Cardinals would be one.
Matt Prater and Blake Gillikin.
Yes.
They had 19th was their kicker, 18th was their punter. Again, the whatever metric you want to use, that's what I use just because I didn't know.
So then maybe they're three? So who do you have one?
Seattle. I have Seattle one.
Seattle one.
Michael Dixon, I think, is the best punter
best
in the NFL.
Best punter in the NFL. Okay.
Gotcha. Jason Myers has been good. He didn't have as good of a year, but.
But it seemed like he had a good year. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
he's right at, I mean, him and Jake Moody are just right stacked
at the
on top
percentage.
Of each
other. There you go.
83% for Myers, 81% for Moody.
So the best kicking punting combo in the NFC West, Seattle, Niners,
Arizona
Rams.
Yeah. And so there we I love this. Mitch the Bloomin' Onion Wisnowski. I like Mitch. I like Mitch a lot. And so I don't know. We'll see. I did, you know, whenever I was like trying to go through, I was like, do we include all special teams? Do we include coordinators? Because like if you say the 49ers have the second best special teams group in the NFC West, I'm going to say you're drunk.
Right. Definitely not. Definitely bottom 20.
Yeah. Yeah. But right?
Bottom 10 in the NFL. Like
Mitch
the
is
team
beast.
As a whole.
And if Jake Moody could just take some strides, just some strides, you know,
this is weird,
a little
like,
bit better than last year.
Yeah. He has to get more confident in hitting those 40 yarders. That's where he struggled. And remember, he usually missed after a timeout. Like that icing thing was like perfect. Like they did it to him all the time, and so he just has to come out there. I think now that it's no longer his rookie season, you're hoping the strides upwards are what he takes. You know, rookie season out the window.
Yeah, it's done, and so hopefully he progresses. And you know, had a decent Super Bowl. He had those great kicks and some missed kick. You know, the missed field or extra point, but. There's a lot of positives, and he's not going anywhere. You spit that pick, he's here. Like, whatever your thoughts are on Jake Moody, that dude's not going anywhere. He's going to be here for at least three more years, guaranteed. And that should be a good thing. Some continuity there. We'll see what happens. So this has been fun. I like this. Today was a good show, Wayne.
Great show.
You're going to smile no matter what, though, today. And you deserve it, my friend. And I'm very, very happy for you.
Thank you
so much,
bro.
Let's let the champion take it out. Let's end this show. And we'll be back next week.
I like this because I feel like the Niners are in that discussion of becoming champions. They've been in it all for the past few seasons, and they just got to continue to just go that little bit extra mile, right? Like do what it takes to get over that little bit of hump. It starts in training camp. July 16th is when it kicks off. I think the Niners got a great set of rookies coming in there, whether they're drafted or undrafted. Guys are going to be coming in trying to make this roster. 90 men got to get trimmed down to 53. We're going to be able to bring you all that news right here in the John and Wayne Show. Make sure your alerts are set to all. And faithful, stay up and always remain faithful. We out this joint. Peace.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy,
Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save.